Welcome to episode 12 of Disky Discussions. I'm your host, AB Besson. Disky Discussions goes global as we catch up with Alan Clark, who currently works for KF Lapi in the Kosovo Super League. The former Black Leopards head coach left for Kosovo last year after spending time at Mamelodi Sundowns, SuperSport United, Blackburn Stars, AmaZulu and Lidoda Duva in the PSL. Well, Alan, thanks for joining me from a very cold Kosovo. You know, it's much warmer here in South Africa. I'm in the capital, and you know how it gets here around January. If we could just start with, I think the main question on people's lips will be, why Kosovo? So if you can just give us some background, the people that don't know, the fans that don't know, and follow South African football, why did you choose Kosovo? And I think a lot of people don't even know it's a country.
True. Well, firstly, thanks so much for having me, AB. It's really, really nice to stay in touch with the people from South Africa. I think before I came here and before I worked here before, I also didn't know it was a country. And it's quite a new country. I think they celebrated 10-year independence just a short while ago. So I was contacted by the technical director, Michael Nies, and asked to come and fulfill a role with the national teams, the under-21s. In 2017, just to come and give them technical advice. They were in quite a tough group for their qualifications. And UEFA is very unforgiving when it comes to scoring points and how you get ranked. So how you do in your qualification determines how you get pulled for the next qualification. And so you've really got to make sure every match counts so that you can get higher and higher and higher in the rankings. Otherwise, you always get drawn up against the big team. So, yeah, I came here and I did a bit of work with them. And then I was called again to come and work with them with the under-17s. We went to UEFA in Switzerland for their elite round qualification. And, yeah, I did a bit of work that way. And we did quite well. I had some really good results with the under-21s and under-17s. And word got around and I was contacted to see if I was interested in coming to work in the Superliga here.
Not only did you move to Kosovo, uprooted your family, you moved during a pandemic, the worst of its kind in a century. How was that? And how was the move? And how did you guys have to go undergo quarantine in Kosovo? And how was the flights, you know, and all of that? I mean, uprooting your life, you know, is hard enough, but doing so during COVID-19 must have been very difficult.
Yeah, and I must be honest, AB, it also happened very quickly. Like it was... We literally had maybe 2 weeks to pack up everything and leave. And it was very difficult, like you say, because I came with the whole family. Because of Corona, actually, is why I came with all of the family, because with all the lockdown measures around the world, I wasn't sure when it was we'd be able to be reunited again. Mm-hmm. And my family is very important to me. It was a bit of a challenge to get a flight. You had to book a repatriation flight that was so expensive, maybe three times the price of a normal flight. The flight itself was terrible. No hot food. You don't get any drinks and stuff like that at all on the flights. You literally just sit there, fly there, and that's that. At that stage, Kosovo didn't have any lockdown measures. So as long as you were negative, a COVID-19 test, then no quarantine was required. So that wasn't too bad. But the flight, yeah, shame. It was tough with three little kids that had never flown long distance before, and they have to sit on like a 10-hour flight. We stop over in Turkey and then another hour to Pristina in Kosovo. So that wasn't great. But, we made it. So we're here now.
And work, you started straight away, I presume. How's settling in been and, you know, just getting, you know, adapting to a new country?
Yeah, it was really, really good. I was really well received at the club, and amongst the players, it was really nice and comforting, because obviously they also, not all of them speak English, but I was made to feel very welcome. And yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get much of a break. I kind of left the PSL and went straight into preseason with Lapi. And I suppose that's the nature of the game. You know, maybe sometimes you sit without work for a while. So when work is there, you've just got to put your shoulder to the wheel and work, you know. So, yeah, it was good.
And so far, so good. You know, off air, we spoke about, you know, working with the under-19s. How's the talent in the country? Obviously, they still are, you know, growing in terms of a football nation. But how's the talent? And, you know, they're popping up on the, you know, the global scene. But, you know, how's it been working there and working in their youth structures?
Yeah, I mean, it's really competitive in the under-19s. I mean, you have it's their reserve league, but it's only under-19, so it's very, very competitive. And one of the things that drew me to work in Kosovo was the amount of talent that they have with their youngsters. Obviously, working with the junior national teams, I get to see probably the cream of the crop, but some extremely well-drilled youngsters that they have, very technically gifted. Look, a lot of things that they have to improve and a lot of things that they have to work on. I mean, you touched on it, AB. They're just kind of getting back into the world stage, but they've had some really eye-catching results and performances with their A national team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been really, really good working with the under-19s. At LAPU, we've really, really done a good job. And, we've moved up from 11th. We were about 22 points away from the first-place team when I took over. And I think now in 11 games, we've won 9 of them, including I think we've got the record for the highest goal scored. We won one game 10-3, and now we're 5 points behind the leaders. So we're catching fast, and yeah, it's been really, really encouraging to work with them. Different as well, you know, and that's why I came here, is to test myself with different players.
And what's LAPU's long-term goal? To break into Europa League? Obviously, for a Kosovo team, that would be, you know, I think, big deal. As you know, as a whole, it's great to have a goal. But as a club, what is your short-term goal? And obviously, challenging for the league is also on the agenda.
Yeah, I think the first team, they struggled a little bit with some results early on. I think we made a lot of signings. And so the cohesiveness within the squad just needed a bit of time to gel. So I think as a club, I think you rightly say we're trying to push to get into Europe and maybe Europa League or Champions League qualification rounds, which not only come with a financial benefit, but also you put yourself out on the world stage. Very difficult tournament, even in the qualifying rounds. I mean, I don't need to tell anybody, there's some top teams that go through to those rounds. You know, my team, I support Tottenham Hotspur. They had to go through the qualifying rounds in the Europa League.
Yeah,
and so to get yourself onto that stage in Europe, I think would be great, and definitely that's a goal at LAPU. With the under-19s, if we can push and get ourselves into those under-19 qualification spaces, it would also be good for us and something that we're looking at, you know.
Turning our attention back to South Africa, just before you left, you worked with Black Leopards. Just, you know, how was that? You know, staying in Toyondo, quite isolated from the rest of South Africa up there. But, you know, soccer mad people that fill that stadium. I was working there and, you know, do you miss South Africa in any sense or not really at this point in time?
No, I mean, AB is my home. You know, I still have all my family and my wife's family there. And obviously we miss South Africa a lot. We're missing the sun at the moment. And we're missing the hot weather. But, I mean, I follow the PSL still. I have internet TV here, and I make sure that I watch all the game or as many games as I can. And, I mean, going back to Black Leopards, AB, I have to thank Black Leopards and the chairman for giving me that opportunity and that platform to showcase a little bit of what I can do and what I'm capable of. It wasn't an easy decision to leave. I found I had a very good relationship with the chairman, and I wanted to stay. I was just, it came to the stage where I got an offer from Europe and something I had always wanted to do. And I left with his blessing. You know, he told me that he wouldn't stand in my way for Europe. He wouldn't want that. So I'm very grateful to Black Leopards. It is a difficult place. But then you have, like you say, the bonus of those fans that are fanatical and so supportive of their team, you know, and they go through the mill every year, but hey, they support their team with such passion and loyalty, and it's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm missing South Africa, but also enjoying Europe.
Yeah. You know, working, you know, you say you watch and, you know, still follow the South African football quite closely. What have you made of our season thus far? Sundowns, Swallows, Golden Arrows, still unbeaten. Have you been surprised by the quality of, you know, Swallows FC coming up from, you know, the second division? I think in seasons gone by, teams in the second division have really struggled, especially in their first season. I mean, Tux, yeah, they cracked the top eight, but the next season they were in the relegation zone. So teams really struggle with that consistency, but Swallows are, you know, sticking at it. All credit to them.
Yeah, 100%. And in one moment, it's a surprise because of the fact that they come from the first division. But in another moment, it's not a surprise because they have a very good technical team. Brockies is a fantastic professional qualified coach. And I think he's been doing the business for a couple of years now in the NFD. And it's great to see him get his opportunity at the PSL. And to be honest with you, so far, all you can say is that he belongs. Because his performances of his team and the way that they play is deserving to be where they are, to be honest with you. I think they play good football. And I think for South African football to have a Morocco Swallows in the PSL playing good football, challenging for things, is great. I think we've missed them. And I think they've been very clever in the transfer market. Mm. I think the test, like you say, AB, will be is the second season, and also as the season progresses, how they're able to keep their better players and also rejuvenate the squad, because they also have some older statesmen as well. But you have to give Brandon and the team a lot of credit for what's happened there. Sundowns, of course, they're always going to be there amongst the top title challengers. That's become synonymous with the PSL at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, Golden Arrows, I think, again, their technical team has done really well to prepare a team to be very difficult to beat. And I think that says a lot about the hard work that Coach Mangla has put in there at Golden Arrows. And then now you see Chiefs a little bit more resurgent, which was good. They weren't going to carry on with those results for too long under Gavin. So, yeah, it's been really interesting. And, I mean, I've also been really impressed with SuperSport. I think SuperSport have done really well. I think they've played really good football. And, I mean, Brad Krobler scoring almost every week now. I think it's been really good for him to have a run in the team, and because he struggled a lot with injuries earlier on at SuperSport. And now that he's got a run, look how well he's doing. And it just shows his quality, which is, I think, is really good for South African football.
Yeah. I think the last time I saw you, just before you left and before we, you know, were hit by COVID and went into the bubble, etc., was at Wits Stadium in a rescheduled game, a rescheduled fixture because of thunderstorm, which happens here on the High Veld. You know,
that's true.
Obviously, we didn't know at that time that Wits were in their last year of 99 years. How sad were you to see, you know, a club with such rich history, you know, leave the PSL? And then, you know, in the aftermath, as an outsider now looking in and seeing TTM, who are bottom of the PSL the DStv Premiership at the moment, you know, does it hurt a bit, you know, as a South African football fan?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you look at football around the world, AB, and you see teams that have been around for so many years and their institutions in football, you know, what would the Bundesliga be without, it doesn't have to be a big team, but Borussia Mönchengladbach, for instance.
Yeah.
Or how would the Premier League look without a Crystal Palace? I mean, these are not, for instance, the top teams like a Bayern Munich, but you can't just throw away history that like that. And, you know, I mentioned how nice it was to see Morocco Swallows back, you know, and then we lose a bit, you know. Yeah, I think it's sad. I mean, I obviously don't know what goes on in the boardrooms and things like that. I think just from a spectator's point of view, you want to see history. You want to see teams with history. I think you start diluting a culture when you start getting rid of historic and well-founded clubs, you know. In the history, or since the PSL became the PSL and moved away from the NSL, you know, how many of those teams are still around? And, you know, I think you start to dilute your fan base. You start to dilute supporters, because maybe I grew up supporting Vits, but my children, they won't, because they don't exist anymore. And that's a bit sad because, yeah, like I say, you dilute that history a little bit, which is, it's sad. But also, I mean, I don't know the financial implications of what was happening or what wasn't. And I don't really want to get involved in that. Purely from a spectator's point of view, a lot of history, a lot of contributions to South African football, but there's not only on the field, administratively, coaching-wise. Super sad, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Platinum Stars, a team that you worked with a lot, obviously also not around anymore. I think that's how the first time I met you, you were still at Platinum Stars. How was it working there? You know, also a proud club, and, you know, just during my, what is it now, 8 years in the industry, you know, they had a great period under Alan Fries and Kevin Johnson. What do you remember? What do you recall from your days there and working in Rustenburg?
Sure, AB. The saddest thing about these Platinum Stars, to be honest with you, there's two things. And the first one is those facilities. Those facilities are world-class. And when I show people in Europe those facilities, they cannot believe the extent and the quality of what those facilities were. I think it's diabolical that those facilities are not even being used anymore. I think the infrastructure at that club was set up for a top club to be there for many, many, many years if things had been run properly. And I think the second thing is, and one thing I will never forget in my time at Platinum Stars is the family that we had at Platinum Stars. I don't even know how to explain it to you. It's the only club I've worked at that everybody was a family. Everybody cared about everybody else. Going to work was the most fun, most enjoyable time of anybody's period. I think even players that were not in the squad that generally would be unhappy would come to work with a smile on their face and just enjoy the company of each other. There was such a camaraderie at that club. It was very, very sad to see it break up. And I think that's why they enjoyed so much success the time that we were there, and then Alan Friesen winning all those trophies and things. It really was such a special time for me to be involved at Platinum Stars.
And yeah, you obviously worked with Alan Fries, who's now at Free State Stars, and Kevin Johnson, who's at Al Ahly. It's just, you know, crazy to see how quickly things can change for a coach, and in football, things just change drastically in, you know, blink of an eye. Are you still
just
close?
Just a correction. I didn't work with Alan Fries. Eh? Yeah. We were on a course together, but I worked with Kevin Johnson at Platinum Stars. Sorry, AB.
Oh, okay. So you left just before him then?
Yes, and then came back when Kevin came back.
Okay, so you moved around with Kevin quite a lot.
Yeah, I worked with Alan when Alan was the assistant with Jackson at Kevin, when we finished second with Alex Haredi as the goalkeeper coach. And then when Alan Fries took over, we left to Supersport.
Okay. Yeah, that was – so the season you finished second was to Chiefs.
Yes, Chiefs won by 1 point.
Yeah, they lost. Yeah, that's the season when they lost the final game, actually. And you guys won your game, but then Tux beat them in Nelspruit, I think. That's right. Okay, now I remember. Well, just getting back to Kevin, obviously someone you know very well. He's at Al Ahly now. Just have you been impressed by, you know, his progress as a coach? And yeah, obviously it's great to have two South Africans, well, actually a few South Africans.
Yeah.
Two coaches.
I think five now, yeah.
Yeah, two coaches, you know, in big positions, head coach, assistant coach, working at Al Ahly. How encouraging is that to see? And are you guys still in touch?
Yeah, I speak to Kevin almost weekly. We phone each other still. I'm not surprised by his success. I'm not surprised by Pizzo's success. I think they're good coaches, whether they coach in Al Ahly or whether they coach for Manchester United or they coach at Sundowns. Those are good coaches. I'm so pleased for both of them to have an opportunity to coach such a big team and to show that South African coaches have nothing to worry about, no fear to leave the country and show what we can do. Because to be honest with you, I think especially those that have been through all the courses that they put us through, we have so much knowledge to give the rest of the world, to be honest with you. I think we have some really, really good coaches. I'm so happy for Kevin. I'm so happy for Pizzo, and also, you know, all the analysts, Muzi and KB, the fitness coach. They're really world-class people in their fields, and it's great to see South Africans doing so well. It makes you patriotic.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think South Africans are in their comfort zone a lot of the time, especially, you know, as footballers? We also see that they're very reluctant to move to Europe. But, you know, you yourself has now moved to Kosovo and Pizzo has gone to Egypt. Do you want to see more of that in the future?
I think it can help South African football, AB. The reason I came to Kosovo was for the simple reason that I want to expose myself to something different. The culture here is different. The football culture is different. The way I have to communicate with players are different. The traditions in what they want from football is completely different. And when I have to make adjustments and when I do certain things and interact, it means I'm learning and I'm changing and I'm developing. But I also have things to show them and things to teach them that they've never seen before. So, you know, I don't know if people are reluctant. I can only talk from someone from the outside to say that maybe us as South Africans, we shouldn't be afraid to step out of our comfort zone and try new things. Mm. Europe isn't easy. It's not easy here, AB. It's tough. There's 1,000 people that also want my job that speak Albanian. And it's cold. I went to training, like I told you, off air, minus 11, minus 9, and I have to go and train and clear snow off the pitch so that we can play. And if you're not mentally tough and if you're not physically tough that you can put up with this, and then, you know, maybe it's easier just to go home. And I said when I came here, I don't want to be that type of person. I wanted to make sure I stick it out and I grow and I learn as much as I can. And you know what, maybe at the end of the day, I'll be a better coach for it because I'm developing and I'm growing firsthand. I'm experiencing these things. So that's the reason why I came. And the more South Africans do it, the more information, the more expertise get brought back to South Africa, that can only improve South African football, in my opinion.
We spoke about the team's goals or long-term goals, short-term goals a bit earlier. What are your personal long-term and short-term goals? It's hard to say when, you know, you've only been there a few months, but
sure.
Do you have any long-term goals, you know, aspirations, dreams, having now, you know, made the big move to Europe, you know, the world's your oyster.
Yeah, I mean, maybe first of all, I'd like to try and do as well as I can with the under-19s that I have.
Yeah,
we've been on a good run, and in the short term, if we can push and make sure that we can push the leaders who are very, very far away from us to the end and maybe try and sneak something, I would love to work in a European continental competition like the Europa League or the Champions League qualifications, even at under-19s. And obviously, long-term, my goal is always to progress here in Europe. It's to move on to bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and to try and take forward steps as much as I can. And it might be small steps, might be big steps. You mentioned earlier, football changes so quickly. And so the idea is to push as much as I can and to grow. And when opportunities come, be ready to take them.
It was 4 years since the South African played in the Premier League, but we saw Percy Tau run out for Brighton of Albion. As a fellow South African, you know, how proud are you to see him flying the flag? I think he was the first South African since Stephen Pienaar in 2017, which is just insane for, you know, a country like ours that is so, you know, football obsessed. How impressed have you been by Percy's impact at Brighton? And do you think it was about time for that he got a shot in the Premier League?
Yeah, what a proud moment for all South African football fans, man. It was amazing. And it was amazing to see the support that he got. Yeah, I think he gave a really good performance when he came on in the FA Cup and then he started. I mean, it's great to see our players on the biggest stage. The Premier League, by far, in terms of how it's run and things like that, is the best league in the world. And what an amazing achievement by Percy. And he's always been a committed, driven individual with buckets of talent and also not afraid to get stuck in and work hard, you know. I think his time to play in the Premier League was always going to come. I think it was just a matter of the work permit situation because Brighton, I don't think, would have spent that investment on him and loaned him out if it was just doing a favour for someone. They really wanted him. It's a matter of the work permit that he gets the opportunity. So, yeah, really pleased for him. I hope he can kick on and I hope he can do even better. And you never know, you know, maybe this can lay the foundation for many, many more South Africans. The young South African in Southampton, he started the other night in the FA Cup as well. And so,
yeah,
I mean, let's hope we've got a few South Africans in England and things. So, yeah, I think he did well.
Yeah, we have one at Leicester, I think, and Crystal Palace.
Yes.
Newcastle, I think, has got
one. Yes, the youngster. Yeah, so, I think he plays the under-23s.
Yeah, so that's very... I know Sean's son was there for a bit, but he's back in South Africa. I think it's Cross. Right. Yeah, he's not at Newcastle.
Yes, that's right.
He was in Germany for a bit. It's very exciting. Talking about someone that made it in Premier League, Benny McCarthy, who's obviously now the head coach of Mazulu, a club that you know quite well as well, having worked there for a few years. What have you made of Zuma Zulu's progress and Benny as a coach after what he had achieved at Cape Town City?
Yeah, I think he's a highly respected coach and a highly respected individual. And, you know, you can see the difference he makes in the way that AmaZulu play. I think he's changed a lot of how they were playing before. It's nice to see that attacking brand of football that he had at Cape Town City slowly come into AmaZulu, because I think in an attacking sense, they're far more dangerous. They have far better movement than previously. And maybe it goes to show with a little bit of a more educated professional coach, someone more experienced like Benny. I think it was a good decision for AmaZulu to go that route. And obviously, he's got a good technical team around him as well, you know. So they've got a very good squad. I think they've been very shrewd in the transfer market.
Yeah,
they made some interesting signings. It's a good team with a lot of potential, and it's almost completely different though to the squad we've had before. So a lot of changes, but yeah, I think some really good signings. A little bit of lack of confidence. If they win a few games, they'll go on a good run. You know, just a couple of draws now, but the performances have been really, really good, and won't be long before they go on a long run of wins, I think.
For anyone listening this and wanting to follow in your footsteps, maybe not to Kosovo, but to European football, maybe another country, maybe Macedonia, maybe Albania, how do they put themselves in a position like you did? Which coaching courses would you say, you know, which way is the best way to go about it? Obviously, you have to get involved in football at a young age. What advice do you have for anyone that aspires to be a coach one day?
Yeah, I think the first thing is you have to have perseverance. I think when you're a coach, you take many, many knocks, many backward steps, but you've got to persevere to make sure that you can go forward. Education is critical, and I think it's very important for you to do your UEFA badges, your SAFA and CAF badges, your licenses. It's very important to get that education under your belt. But I think it's also important to have experience on the field, and I think you need to work as much as you can on the field, and try and push some of your ideas and see how they work on the field and see the reaction. I think those are the things that I would say. I think a lot of things in football, AB, come down to a lot of luck, right place, right time, right moment. And you have prepared yourself for the opportunity so that you can take the opportunity. So I think you have to prepare yourself. Education-wise, perseverance-wise, mentally-wise. And you have to be aware of the full reality of what coaching is about. It sounds very glamorous at times, but it can be very lonely. It can be very difficult. You know, when you win, the players get the plaudits, but when you lose, it's always your fault. So you have to have a thick skin as well, that you accept everything that goes wrong. And you have to just be able to shoulder that responsibility. But I think also that comes with experience, maybe an age. So, yeah, perseverance, hard work, and education, very important.
Before I let you go, maybe just do you leave the door open to a possible return to South Africa in the future? Come and sharing your knowledge here. Maybe not in the next few years, but maybe in the long term. South Africa is a great place to live. I think anyone, you know, who's been overseas can vouch for that.
For sure. No, it's my home, AB, of course. You know what, I wanted to come to Europe and to broaden my horizons and also educate myself and to grow as a coach. And every day I grow and every game day I'm developing. And, you know, if I see so many European coaches come to work in South Africa, why can't I go and work in their countries? But, you know, if the opportunity came for me to come back to South Africa and share my knowledge, absolutely. That's the door is always open for me. It's my home. I love it. If I can bring something back to South African football, yeah, why not? Of course.
I'm great. Thanks for your time. And I really appreciate spending some time with me, and good luck with, the cold and everything that side. we'll think of you and, good luck with everything, and yeah, hope to see you soon.
Sure, maybe. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for having me. It's been really great to catch up with you. And yeah, enjoy the hot weather. And yeah, man, enjoy the PSL. It's good. Carry on, man. Nice to see you. Cheers, my man.
Yeah, will do. Stay safe. Ciao.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Disky Discussions. If you have any questions or guests you'd like me to have on the show, please hit me up at AB_Vason on Twitter or Instagram. Stay safe, like, subscribe, aware.